careful.
Well, I guess it's afternoon now, isn't it, everybody? So good afternoon. Nice to be here with you all. When I look through Scripture, there's this, I forgot to look it up. God says that when you find gold, a nugget, and it's buried in a field, you sell everything you have and buy that field and then go back and dig that nugget up. I love looking for the nuggets in Scripture. And I like looking for things that God just puts in there and doesn't necessarily explain it, just puts it in there. But He does explain it throughout the Bible. So it comes in handy. So I want you to turn to Genesis 4. Where am I here? Genesis 4, 7. Genesis 4, 1 to 7. But before I get into that, I want to read you something at the start of this. And then I'm going to read it again at the end to see if your understanding of what I'm trying to get my message through makes a difference. It's just under the heading of offerings. The Bible frankly refers to offerings as sweet savior or a pleasing aroma to the Lord in the context of burnt offerings. These references emphasize how obedience through offerings was a form of worship and devotion that pleased God. These references of sweet savior and pleasing aroma are mentioned multiple times in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. The exact phrase varies slightly, but the meaning is consistent. God accepted the offerings as favorable. So, don't have to remember that, because I'm going to read it back to you at the end. Hopefully I'll have that. And in verse, let's just read 4:1, just so we can get it down pat. Adam knew his wife, knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2, and she again bared brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Two totally different occupations. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, very important, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel for his and his to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? For if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou do not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. No real mention in there, is there, of why he didn't accept his offer. So I'm going to go through this, hopefully, and with what I read before, you'll come to understand. I'm going to outline the reasons, and I've got this all in here, so I'm going to just read it. Cain's sacrifice was rejected by God. The key reasons, including issues of quality, of attitude, of obedience, and potential sin. I'm going to explore how these ties into a broader themes of worship of sacrifices in the Bible. The story of Cain's sacrifice appears in Genesis 4:1-7, which we just read. According to the text, Cain brought an offering to God from the fruit of the ground. Not first fruits. Doesn't say it. Just of the fruits of the ground. While his brother Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and the fat portions. That's extremely important in this whole thing of what he did, what he brought. God regarded Abel's offering with favor, but he did not regard Cain's offering. The question is, why? And I have never, of all the messages I've ever listened to, heard anybody explain this. That's why I checked into it real close. This led to Cain being very angry and eventually murdering his brother, which we read in the scripture. The biblical text does not explicitly state why God rejected Cain's offering, but several interpretations have been offered based on scriptural content and theological reasoning. Cain's offering was likely rejected because it did not reflect the proper quality, faith, obedience, and attitude. God's response indicates that Cain had the opportunity to correct his behavior, but instead chose to harbor resentment and commit a grave sin. Excuse me. Now, think back. Genesis. We don't have nothing really from Genesis to Abraham to explain covenant, to explain what God wanted everybody to do, the laws of the covenant. But it's pretty hard to ignore everything that's in the first part of the Bible, because God is very particular in detail. He doesn't let small things lie aside. He goes over it and over it and over it. And all you have to do is go back and get sick and tired of reading Leviticus and Numbers, Leviticus, and Exodus. And you understand totally why I say that statement of that he repeats it and repeats it. Even in some of the verses, he repeats it twice. And then repeats it again in another one. So he's very meticulous. So it's extreme, and a lot of people say, well, he had to explain it to Adam and Eve. No, he didn't have to. He did explain it to Adam and Eve. He told them not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he's very meticulous in what he says. Even if he doesn't say it at the beginning, the details come out in Exodus, for example, when he goes, Moses comes down from the mountain. All the details. He said, retell him. This is what he's telling him to do. So, Cain's rejected sacrifice connects deeply with several broader biblical themes about worship and sacrifice. And I'm going to go over a few of those. Worship must come from the heart. God consistently emphasizes the heart posture over mere ritual. So just doing it for the sake of doing it is no good in God's eyes. In both the Old and the New Testaments, true worship must be sincere, it must be humble, and it must be faithful. Can't be any other way. It doesn't mean anything to God, and I'll get into a few scriptures later on to emphasize that fact. Cain may have gone through the motions of worship, but without genuine faith and devotion. Something Abel demonstrated. And if you go to Hebrews 11:4. Hebrews 11:4. Mark is in the wrong spot. Hebrews 11:4 says, listen to this very carefully. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. His actions speak louder than words, right? And it's recorded in the Bible. Another part is hardened attitude. In Hebrews 11:4, which I just read, in the New Testament says, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, implying that Abel's heart and faith was more pleasing to God. Cain's attitude may have been lacking a genuine devotion of reverence. I'll just take some fruit out of the ground. Now think about this, for example. And this is an if, which I think was not an if. If God had explained to Cain and Abel, and at that time Adam and Eve, that when you come to sacrifice, you sacrifice with blood. That means animal sacrifice. That means your firstlings. You can't get blood of an apple or a potato. So keep that kind of in the back of your mind as you're thinking of that sacrifice that he made. That it was just, well, I'm a farmer. But he could have went to Abel and said, Abel, look, I got to bring a sacrifice to God that he wants. Can I trade some of my apples, my pears, my potatoes, my carrots for one of your lambs? And taken it to God and been in the right heart and in the right mind that God wants you to be when you're sacrificing to him. Okay? Keep in mind the sweet aroma. You don't get aroma of burning an apple or a potato.
That's right.
Not the kind that comes from meat and fat. I live in a neighborhood where there's a townhouse complex and there's lots of rows there. One of the nicest things I can do is go up my backyard.
Barbecue.
And no, somebody else's barbecue.
Exactly.
And I can smell it. And it brings a sense of delight to you. And it says, Larry, go back into the house and grab a steak. But that's the sense of it. That's the importance of understanding how God feels about it. That he loves that aroma. Because he knows it's a sacrifice. And let's face it, that's what he tells us to bring before him. Now, we don't do that today, but I'll get to that later on. The principles of the first and the best. Biblical sacrifices often require the firstborn or the firstfruits. Exodus 13:2. Let's just skip over there and read these, because they're short ones. Exodus... I hate these same pages. Exodus 13:2. It says, sanctify. Everybody got it? Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of men and of beast. It is mine. So you're not giving something that's yours. You're giving something that's God's anyway. In Proverbs 3:9, let's go over there. Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. That's what God wants. The quality of offering Abel brought, the first fruits, which was in the first part I read, and the fat portions. The fat is where you get the smell. Terms associated with the best and the most valuable parts of the flock. Cain's offering, in contrast, is described simply as an offering of the fruits of the ground, with no indication that it was the best of the first fruits. This suggests that Cain may have offered a lesser quality gift, even if it was of the ground. Cain's offerings lack an indication of this principle, which may have failed to honor God as supreme. There's only one supreme. There's only one. I'll give you an example of this. If you're the supreme commander of the army, there ain't nobody above you. You're the top dog. And that's what God is. I'm not saying he's a top dog, but he's... Don't take that the wrong way. Okay, blood sacrifices as an atonement. Abel's animal sacrifice prefigures the later Levitical system, and ultimately Christ's atoning for death. In Hebrews 9, 22, it says, I'm just going to pick a part of it up here. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Keep that in the back of your mind. Obedience and instruction. Some scholars believe that God had already given the instructions about what kind of sacrifice were acceptable. This is what I've said. Possibly including the shedding of blood as a foreshadowing of atonement. So if Cain's offering of produce might have ignored this instruction. Remember that. Ignored the instruction. If God had already instructed them about the acceptance of sacrifices, as some scholars agree to, Cain's grain offering could reflect disobedience or defiance. And as I said to you, that he could have went and got some meat from, made a trade to honor the sacrifice properly. God's desire for relationship over ritual. God's words to Cain in Genesis 4:7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Highlight that God was not being arbitrary. He wanted repentance and change, not just ritual compliance. So he gave Cain an opportunity to redo his sacrifice. This is what this is saying. And he didn't. Instead, he got angry. He got angry at the Lord. The last one you want to get angry at. you don't want to get angry at him. At least express it the way it was expressed. God's desire for relationship over ritual, as we've talked. God's words to Cain in Genesis 4:7. If you do well, I've read this, would you not be accepted? Highlighted that God was not, I read that one, didn't I? Being arbitrary, he wanted repentance and change. For the sin and the rebellion, in Genesis 4:7, God tells Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? So he gave him an opportunity here, knowing that what he did wasn't accepted, and to repent. That means to turn around and do it properly. Give him that opportunity. This implies that Cain had a choice, that his actions were already headed in a sinful direction. That, according to what we've read, this is the first sin offering. This is the first offering to God that was recorded. So from that point on, he showed that he didn't care. This anticipates prophets like Isaiah and Moses, who condemn outward religious acts when the heart is far from God. In Isaiah 1, let me turn there. Isaiah 1, 11 to 17. Let's read that. Okay. Isaiah 1, 11 to 17. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams, and the fat to... Let me get my gospel straight here. And the fat of fed beast. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand, to tread my courts, to tread them down. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies I cannot away with, it is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, you make many prayers. I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Now what's that got to do with what I'm talking about? God is telling his people, Israel, that if you want a relationship with me, you got to do it right. You cannot just come before me with slaughtered animals and blood. You have to have your mind in the proper place. Verse 17, I'm going to read it again. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Isn't that a standard of God that we read throughout Scripture? Even in the New Testament. So, they're not doing it because he said it here, learn to do well. So, they're not doing any of these things. So, all the sacrifices they make don't mean nothing, honey. Don't mean anything. So, he's trying to get his people back in line. How does that reflect on us? Same thing. We don't bring a calf in here and slaughter them before our image of God or our temple. We are the temple. So we have to make sure that we do things properly before God. All the time. Not just when we come to services. All the time. When we walk out that door and go through the rest of the week, it counts. How we do our daily walk. And that's what he's saying here to Israel. Your daily walk is wrong. Learn to do well. Right? And also in Amos 5:21-24. Pretty much the same thing, but emphasize it. In Amos 5:21-24. 21. I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat. Take thou away from me thy noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of these vials. But let judgment run down as water, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Same thing. Same thing, just said in a different way. Do right. Don't do wrong. Now, what's this got to do with us? Abel's righteous sacrifice foreshadows Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. Jesus even referred to Abel as righteous in Matthew 23:35. Let's go there. Why not? If Jesus said it, who am I to not repeat it? In Matthew 23:35. I'm only going to read 35 because I'm breaking into an issue here. It says, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed from earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. Righteous Abel. Not Abel. Righteous Abel. Unto the blood of Zacchaeus, son of Barachunas, whom thy shed before the temple and the blood. So Jesus said Abel was righteous. What's that mean? He knew about Abel. He knew that he did what was right. And if he did what was right, we should be doing what's right. Cain represents those who refuse to submit to God's will, echoing New Testament warnings in Jude 1:11. And I'm just going to read it because I've got it right here. Woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. Woe to them. What's that mean? That means destruction can come upon them, or will come upon them. In summary, Cain's offering was likely rejected because it did not reflect the proper quality, faith, obedience, or attitude. God's response indicates that Cain had the opportunity to correct his behavior. I've said this before. But instead, he chose to harbor resentment and commit a grave sin. Now, again, I get into devotional references, worship of the heart. Cain's story challenges us to reflect deeply on our worship as we offer God our best. Are our hearts aligned with Him, or are we merely going through the emotions? Not emotions, excuse me, the motions. Like coming to service. Yeah, I think I'll go to services today. You know, I've got to put in my appearance, make sure everybody thinks I'm on the right path. Well, you come here to want to learn, to want to study, to want to draw closer to your brothers and sisters, and be a part of God's church. That is the right attitude. When you walk through those doors, you don't change your clothes. You do that at home. You put the suit on, put the pretty dresses on. What's in here should be at home already changed. You shouldn't have to change it. It should be there already. So when we come into this service, we're already in God's grasp. We're already in His understanding. We're already ready to sacrifice our time here to be part of what God wants us to be. Not what we want to be. It's what does God want us to be? We're His children. We are His children. And we obey Him, we'll listen to Him, and we go through, not the motions, we go through the commandments of love. Most importantly, that commandment of love. And Abel gave in faith and reverence. Cain gave perhaps out of obligation or pride. God is not impressed by outward actions alone. He looks at the heart. Now, if we walk in through that door and have to change our heart, something's wrong. We shouldn't change it. We just should be adding to it. We should be. Your heart can only hit so big in here, but it can go out in your actions all the time, all the time. What you do for somebody. I deliver medicine to a gentleman in Bowmanville. And 2 weeks ago Thursday, he told me he was going to see the doctor for an operation. And we're standing in his garage doorway. And I said, well, I said, there's only one thing you need from me now. He said, what's that? I said, a prayer. So I went like this, and he went like this, and we held hands. And I said, a prayer right there in his garage door. And he said, thank you very much after it was over with. But that's not the end of the story. I went back on Thursday this week. Had the operation. Looked really good after having the operation, right? And I said to him, and I had forgot that he had the operation. Not totally forgot, but just figured it was coming. He said, oh, I said, you're going in for your operation? No, he said, I've already had it. What are you talking about? I said, oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah. You got to use those words. I forgot. So I said to him, well, you look really good. He said, yes, it was a total success according to the doctors. And I looked at him, and I said, well, I guess our prayers worked, didn't they? And he looked at me, and he says, yes, thank you very much. And stuck his hand out to shake my hand. And I shook his hand and said, well, it wasn't me, it was God. So just remember that, that I'm just his messenger and cutting the path and making sure that his children are looked after in the best that I can do. So, but it's an example of taking your heart and extending it out to somebody else that needs that heartfelt emotion that God wants us to give people. And I try to personally live by that example every day. And I say, my job is not a job, it's a mission. Yeah. I've told you my stories before, but I run into those things all the day. And yet, remember, even when you fall short, God invites you to do well. To repent, realign, and be accepted. Worship is not about perfection, but about sincere devotion and a willingness to grow in faith. I'm going to give you a little prayer. You can write this down or you can get it from me later. Lord, seek my heart and reveal any way in me that does not honor you. Teach me to worship in spirit, in truth, giving you the best of my life, my time, and my love. Amen. You can get that from me after if you want to. Now, here's the very interesting part of this whole sermon. I did a little critique about the Bible under the heading of sweet-smelling Savior Scriptures. Guess how many I got? Got 100. 100 that made direct references to it. And I'm not going to read you all 100. So have a rest. But I'm going to go pick a few and go through them. Now, the first one I got is, listen to this one when it concerns the love and respect. It's Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So there's your fragrant in there. That's what Christ did. It was a fragrant offering. How could you allow your son to die? To God, it was a fragrant offering. Okay? And now I'm going to go way back. Leviticus 1:19. But its entrails and its legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering, and a pleasant aroma to the Lord. Going out my backyard and smelling that barbecue, it's just like being in heaven. Right? And that's what's pleasing to God. And we have to understand that. It's pleasing to God. No matter what it means to me, it's pleasing to God. So we want to please God. So these kind of sacrifices in those days, we're going to sacrifice ourselves. And I'll get to it later. Okay, I'm just going to skip around through a few here. In 1 Corinthians 2:15. For we are, listen to this one very carefully. We are the aroma of Christ to God. Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So when we're saved, when Eddie became baptized and was saved, he was a sweet aroma to God. And he's still burning. Right, Eddie? You're still learning. I use those two terms in relationship. And let's see. Let's pick out a few here. I've got lots of times. Exodus 29:18. And burnt the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. Listen to this. It is a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. A pleasing aroma. Always remember that. Your sacrifices are a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And I'm going to read Leviticus 3. 16. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as an food offering with a pleasing aroma. All fat is the Lord's. Not to eat the fat, but to burn it. Why do we burn the fat?
The aroma.
The aroma goes up to heaven. Okay? Skip that over to Ezekiel. As a pleasing aroma, I will accept you. When I burn you, When I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will magnify my holiness among you in the sight of the nations. This is a prophetic. This is prophetic. Applies to us and the Jews coming out. There's two meanings to this. I'm not going to explain them. I want you to dig that one out and explain what are the two different times, okay? Because I'm just concentrated on the aroma. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 14, there's two of them, 14 and 15. Actually. But thanks to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphant procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of knowledge of Him everywhere. What's that? That's taking the word out to God, of God out to the world, right? Our job. And we have Brother Samuel who's always talking about evangelizing. That is perfect fit to this. Because when we go out and tell people about Christ, when we go and tell people about God the Father, like I do on a regular basis, that's spreading that sweet aroma. I haven't heard God tell me, but I've heard Him. Actually, haven't heard Him tell me verbally, but I've heard Him tell me through His Word. Because that's it right there. That's it right there. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Now I'm giving you these verses because I wanted to reflect on what we do today. We know what Cain and Abel did. We know what they did for sacrifices. What do we do today? Because we don't sacrifice animals. Romans 12, 1 to 2. I appear to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every time you read this, that's a little renewing of your mind. Every time you hear a sermon, it's a little renewing of your mind. Every time you have a conversation with one of your brothers or sisters, it's a renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. That perfect aroma. Okay? That's the first part of this is talking about. It's our sacrifice that we make. Oh, do I want to stay home and do a Bible study tonight, or do I want to go to the movies? Yeah. I studied last night. Maybe I'll go to the movies today. Mm. No. That's not a sacrifice. And it was a good movie, too. Or it would have been a good movie, but I didn't see it, so I don't really know what it's about. But the idea is take your time. Brother Eddie said he's always listening to tapes and messages. I have the Bible on CD, new and old. And I shove it in when I start the car, or it's already in there. And I listen to it all day. I've just gone through the Old Testament again for I don't know how many times now. But I don't remember everything that is said on the CDs. But I know it's in here. Right. Because I've heard it. If I've heard it, you know, Stephen says, okay, read me something in the Old Testament. Okay. As soon as I pick the book up and read it in the Old Testament, I remember hearing it on the CD. It's amazing how our minds work. And I'm not one to be remembered, oh yeah, that was in Ezekiel 29:18. I'm not one to remember that detail. Tell me where an address is that I'm driving to and I can give you the number. But I, for some odd reason, that's why I keep listening to it. So I can get it in there and I know it's in there and I can get it out easy enough. Okay? So that's just me personally. That's kind of the way I sacrifice my listening. Now, I got some good CDs by some good country and western music players, but I have to admit, and I'm not saying who the music is by, I would sooner listen to the CD of the Testament than listen to a music. I can do that some other time. All right? No offense to whoever my CDs are from. None taken, right?
Right.
But anyway, let's carry on a few more. Galatians 2. This is just to show you how scattered this is out through the Bible. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, who made the sacrifice there? Yeah? Now who's making the sacrifice?
You.
We are. Right?
Yeah.
We're doing the same thing, but just we haven't been filled yet. We don't want to be human. What happens, happens, right?
Yeah.
In Romans 7:4, likewise, my brother, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to one another. Isn't that funny? You belong to one another.
Wow.
You just don't belong to Christ. You belong to one another. We all belong to each other. And that's the beautiful part. Let me finish that. To him who has been raised from the dead in order that we may bear the fruit of God. So we're instruments in the body of Christ to bear the witness of God. That's sacrifice. That's obedience. That's honoring God. I'm not going out today. I don't care if it's raining, snowing, or sunshine. I'm not going out and spreading the word of God. That's not sacrifice.
No.
Just the opposite. And that's what we need. That's the mindset we need. 1 Peter 2:5. Listen to this one very carefully. I've got an X beside it and I've got a circle. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, if that ain't a mouthful for you to say and remember, I don't know what is. That covers the gauntlet from beginning to end. And I love Peter. I've got a sermon prepared on him, so I won't get into it. Okay, we're in the New Testament, right? Let's swing back to Numbers. Numbers 29:6. Besides the burnt offering of the new moon and the grain offering and the regular burnt offerings and its grain offering and their drink offering, according to the rule for them, for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. Just kind of repeating what we've said in a different way. In Numbers 28:2, I like this one. Command the people of Israel to say unto them, excuse me, my offering, my food for my food offerings, my pleasant aroma, you shall be careful to offer to me at the appointed times. Or appointed time. So God just doesn't say, oh yeah, get up Sunday morning and go make an offering. It's his appointed times that are the appointed time. All his holy days, all his Sabbaths, those are his appointed time. But during the course of 1 to 6, you can still make that sacrifice in your service and bring it to people's attention. I've got a few minutes here. Don't get tired of what I'm listening, what I'm doing here. In Philippians, this is interesting. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as light to the world. That was Philippians 2, 14 to 15. Sorry. That pretty much, where are you supposed to shine your candle? On a hill? Not under a barrel or a bucket? But shine it, and this one here emphasizes that. That you may be acceptable before the Lord, whom you shine as a light to the world. And that's our objective. In Matthew 5:13, this one here, listen to this one. This ties in very good with it. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything. Think of Abel and think of Cain. It's not longer good for anything except to throw out and trample under people's feet. So that tells you a lot about obeying the word of God, doesn't it? Because we are the salt. So you're not going to be, if you're useless salt, you're no good to God.
Amen.
No good. Genesis 27:27. So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as a smell of the fields that the Lord has blessed." He fooled him. Sweet aroma. Just that sweet aroma. Well, I'm gonna finish this off here. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I read part of that one before. I'll end it with that one because I could go on here for quite a while. Now listen to this. I'm going to do one more. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. What better thing can you say about love than that? Okay, now let me read you my first reading again and listen to it in the contents of what I've said to you. The Bible frequently refers to offerings as a sweet savor or a pleasing aroma to the Lord in the contents of burnt offerings. These references emphasize the obedience through offerings as a form of worship, the devotion that pleased God. These references to sweet savor or pleasing aroma are mentioned multiple times in Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, and Exodus. I know they're in order. The exact phrase varies slightly, but meaning remains constant. God accepted the offerings as favorable. I'll leave you with that to ponder in relationship to what I've tried to talk to you about. Okay? Turn this off.